Hey, hey, this is Brandon, and you're listening to the Ordinary Radicals Podcast. Man, oh man, do we have a good show for you today. I'm here with my good buddy Jonathan Hayashi.
Hey.
How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good. I see you kind of working on your dissertation stuff back there.
Yeah.
So you're a hard worker. That's good.
I am a hard worker, and I'm excited for this to be done.
Yeah, hang in there. I'm with you. So that's the life of a student and pastoring at the same time, kind of juggling the both, huh?
So. Extra time is not common in my household.
Yeah. We only have 168 hours. Like, if you had more than 24 hours a day, right? Things would be easier.
I used to know a guy in college, and he said he worked 25 hours a day. I said, well, how do you do that? He says, I wake up an hour early every day. That's pretty good.
Yeah, especially when you have kids, it's kind of hard, you know. Like,
how are your kids?
Oh, they're good. Yeah, the two little ones, you know, we just kind of came back from Colorado, as you know, over the weekend, and they had grandma grandpa time, and yeah, they're doing great. What about your kiddos?
My kids are doing good. Basketball, sports, and just being bosses on the court. It's awesome. Man, good stuff.
The whole nine yards, huh?
And loving church, and yeah, it's really good. Hey, but we got a great show for you today. So we have a topic we're going to talk about, and Jonathan and I, we kind of have some ties into this field. I found it very important whenever I was going through seminary to get a degree in counseling, and I thought that was going to be absolutely worthwhile. And in your background, you have some background in counseling as well, is that right?
Oh, yeah. You know, pastoring in Chicago and just kind of deal with a lot of people with kind of mental health issues. You know, people were in nursing home, which is really a mental health facility in Chicago. They just didn't know how to deal with the people on the north side. So a lot of people from that, people from the streets, kind of drugs and so forth, people, gangbangers running on the streets and, you know, abused a lot of times with, you know, we had a woman's shelter in the basement. And, you know, I just kind of dove into ministry. I was just like, oh, man, I don't know how to deal with this. You know, I had like one or two counseling classes from my undergrad and seminary. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you know, this is something I need to study. So, yeah, that's when I kind of dove into my doctoral studies in counseling. Yeah.
Cool, man. Well, we both have a pastor's hearts. We both believe in counseling and what that looks like. I first kind of want to go through and talk about the extremes of what you've heard preached from the pulpit when it comes to mental health. And you can talk to one side of this. One side is the Dr. Phil pastor, and he's just like, get over it. Absolutely get over it. You just need to just suck it up, buttercup, and move along. How do you think people respond to that guy?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've seen it, you know, and it just depends on pastors, right? Like, I know some pastors are just not very people-oriented.
Yes.
And, you know, people in the church don't feel heard and loved in a sense. It takes a lot of time pastoring. I think you need a certain personality as well. But again, I do think there's the other side that just pastors are not trained. So what they will say is like, hey, the Bible says that, I believe it, that solves it. And,
right,
you know, I do think, you know, when we're talking about sin issues in our lives or, you know, like especially today when there's so much, like I heard that, you know, counseling is one of the highest undergrad education that people are kind of diving into because they see the needs from the secular side and the Christian, you know, churches. And, you know, they're like, how do you deal with that? But I do think churches like, you know, the one that you mentioned, Dr. Phil, I think has done actually more damage for the kingdom work in the witness. I think it's a real problem.
Sure. So in Hear Us, we're talking about extremes at this point. And there is a time for that extreme statement, you know, that honesty of you're creating this problem in your life. You need to see that. But you have to do it in love, like you said. Mm-hmm. There's the other side of the extreme, and that's going to be the person that allows, like you were talking to me before the show, allows the world to speak more truth into a life than the scriptures. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, that's where I think it's really hard. I mean, I just remember talking and, you know, kind of dialoguing with other students. And, you know, I do prison ministry, and I remember talking to some of these people, and they're Christians and they're helping people. And they were like, you know, what do you have to do? You need to forgive God. And, you know, God is big enough. And, you know, you can just go ahead and forgive his sin. Or, you know, I remember talking to inmates and offenders, and they said, I just can't forgive myself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think sometime in the name of Jesus, and we say based on scripture, we give these advices, but it's far from the scripture. Mm-hmm. What forgiveness is in light of Christ, really far from even, let's talk about the death and burial, resurrection of Christ. There's nothing mentioned about that. And I think that should be alarming for us. I think really our hope is ultimately in Christ, but we don't want to come across like some kind of spiritual mysticism of just this kind of, you know, crazy wacko idea that we give, and just, oh, you just got to surrender and so forth, you know. So both extremes, that people give advices that are far from scripture. I even heard somebody, you know, on a television counseling radio program says, hey, how long have you been dealing with this sin of adultery? Oh, well, when I drive next to this massage parlor, you know, I just get tempted. I just got to go do it. And, you know, the counselor, Christian counselor said, well, just remember, you've been dealing with this for years, so you just got to be easy on you and just have grace and slowly wean off on this sin. And it may take you a lifetime to deal with it. But on the other hand, I see like what Psalm 119 verse 9 is, how can a young man keep his ways pure? By committing himself to the word of God.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Christian counseling is definitely useful and good when it's done well. Mm-hmm. So what I've noticed in church is that a lot of people, they're not going to go to a Christian counselor first for their counseling. They're going to go to a pastor. They're going to go seek the help of someone that should have that knowledge. What kind of training would be beneficial to pastors, I think? Like I said, in seminary, I got a degree in counseling because I knew that it would be absolutely crucial. And I've used this degree over and over with group dynamics, dealing with people and their emotions, and understanding sort of the root issue, the root sin, the root that people are dealing with. I wonder what kinds of trainings would be good for pastors. Mm-hmm. Or do you think, Jonathan, that pastors really just need to pass these people along, and they just need to go to the Christian counselor? We just need to pass them along. What do you think?
Yeah. Again, I do think Sunday morning has a sense of high content of information but low accountability.
Okay.
And I do think as much that's important, I think the private ministry of the word, so we're talking about public ministry of the word, which is the preaching, but also the private ministry of the word, which is counseling, discipleship, right? Mm-hmm. Is important, because counseling and discipleship deals with low content, maybe information, but high accountability. Mm-hmm. And just so you're helping, walking alongside, and, you know, kind of, you know, dealing with that. So, but I think a lot of ministries are beginning to see, like, wow, as much as it's important, the public ministry, I think the private ministry needs to be elevated and to be trained in people by dealing on maybe individualistic level, or, you know, couples counseling and ministries, mm-hmm. premarital, funerals, grief. See a lot of good things happening that people are just kind of returning and emphasizing the importance of counseling through the scripture, which is biblical counseling.
Mm-hmm. So how do our pastors get trained in biblical counseling? What does that look like? That's the question, you know.
Yeah. So I personally, I see there's dangers within 21st century evangelicalism. It's a sense of heavy systematic theology training, which, you know, it's important, such as, like, you know, doctrine of salvation, soteriology, or doctrine of ecclesiology, doctrine of the church, right? A doctrine of eschatology, harmartiology.
You're using a bunch of words I've never heard right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so as we sharpen and faithfully expose God's word holistically, like in a sentence, in a paragraph, in a chapter, I think there's a lot that we can offer in helping people to understand how we can faithfully begin to minister. So ultimately, I mean, it's really the Word of God, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I think as we're more faithful, understanding, studying the Scripture, I think that allows pastors to be able to counsel, to disciple, to speak into people's life more faithfully. So I think, first of all, that needs to happen, mm-hmm. which I think it is happening. So I think that's helpful. I think there's a lot of great resources out there now. I think, you know, the Nine Marks Ministry, such as Mark Dever from, you know, the East Coast, they're having some really profound, great resources written on that. David Pallison, some of his stuff that's written. Ed Welch with When People Are Big and God Is Small, a great resource I use all the time. Paul Tripp, you know, some of these guys are just being faithful and providing resources not only for church pastors, leaders, but also now on the lay level of people being trained and equipped in order to minister with the whole counsel of God's word. So yeah, I think I kind of jumped around everywhere, but I think there's a lot of good things happening around. Sure. All over. Yeah.
What do we say though to the pastor that says, you know what, I hear you guys, and I just don't have time. Like, I can't take another person on my case. I'm a pastor one pastor at my church, and I just can't do it. So what kind of advice are we going to give that person in terms of counseling? And I mean, yeah, that's a hard question.
Yeah, I do think part of the issue, which, you know, I kind of emphasize often, is really discipleship, isn't it? The ministry, as the church gets larger, you know, it's harder for pastors to be able to engage. And, you know, as much as you and I know, I mean, I was doing a visitation this morning at a hospital for a member. But, you know, it's important for us to delegate mm-hmm. some of those tasks. And that means, you know, we cannot expect people to be where they're at that we ourselves have not been to. Mm-hmm. So again, in order for us to be equipped to be able to minister and to disciple and counsel well, we ourselves need to learn through reading, through listening to the sermons, and then applying it well within our community. And then not only that, but to multiply what we ourselves know to such as our leadership and our churches, so that it doesn't become a reality that the pastor alone is counseling, but also on the lay level, right, for people to expect. And then okay. I think, but you need a long-term vision to be able to do that. You can't just do that overnight. I think I heard this quote that was said, you know, young pastors so often overestimate what they can accomplish in 1 year. Mm-hmm. And they underestimate what God can accomplish in the 30 years of ministry. Mm-hmm. So I think there has to be a long tenure of faithful ministry in the church, and but also having a short-term goal and a long-term goal for the sake of the kingdom and the community to be impacted by the gospel.
Yeah. And you talked about delegating and sort of teaching lay people in those things. It's been my experience, and I've done counseling practicums, and I've taught lay people and things. It's been my experience that whenever you show someone counseling, whenever you teach them some group dynamics and how to read body language and things, they get really excited, like you've given them a special gift that they can help someone else with. Because without those things, most people, we don't know what to do when someone comes up and says, "Hey, I'm dealing with depression." Or your buddy comes up and says, "Hey, I'm stuck in pornography," or "Hey, I'm thinking about I've been cutting myself and mm-hmm. I'm thinking about taking my own life." We don't know how to deal with that, and our immediate thought is to overreact and to kind of freak out. Mm-hmm. Teaching people how to be calm, how to listen, how to read, mm-hmm. how to understand. Well, one of the things in counseling that people don't understand is they expect that it's going to be their job to give everybody a bunch of answers. Mm-hmm. And really, people just want to be listened to a lot, right? There was a study done. I love this. They took college students, maybe you heard about this, and they entered this room one at a time, and they would talk to this wall of sorts, and there was a box. and the box had a machine in it that randomly said yes or no. It randomly would give a positive or negative reaction. Mm-hmm. And the students would sit there and they would talk to this thing, and within their own head they would make sense of whatever reaction was given by that box. They thought they were just talking to a person. They didn't know it was a box, okay? So they would say, you know, should I drop out of school? And maybe the box would say no, and they were like, you're right. But maybe the box would say yes, and they would be like, oh, I understand what you're saying. You're being sarcastic. Of course I shouldn't drop out of school. So within themselves, they sort of had this idea to follow the Holy Spirit, to trust God, as long as they could get it off their chest out in the open in a safe atmosphere where someone would listen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just so training lay people.
Mm-hmm.
You know a little bit about that, right?
What's interesting, even just yesterday, I was meeting with a lay person who's one of our small group ministry leaders. When I asked, what do you understand about biblical counseling? And he said, oh, it's what pastors do. Immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately. That's what pastors do. I think that speaks a lot. I think there is just an understanding or assumption that this is only done by the professional clergy, ordained ministers, mm-hmm. of the gospel. And actually, when you look at scripture, you know, we know in Timothy, it says what? All scripture is good for correcting, teaching, rebuking, and training in righteousness. That's mm-hmm. all things, right? And you know, you and I were talking about, this is the same old thing that we're dealing with from the get-go of Genesis 3, right?
Right.
Like even in New Testament, it talks about what? The pride of life, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Those are main issues in our lives. And I think what we do immediately when we see those things is like, I can't deal with it. Somebody else is going to deal with that. But God's word has given us all things in order for us to be able to walk through some of these, you know, issues in life, helping them to understand. And again, I think our knee-jerk reaction is like, I'm dealing with panic attack. You know, you and I were talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we want to do is get rid of the panic attack.
Right.
But panic attack is a surface level of what's below,
that's
right?
That's right, yeah.
So again, I often say this, the fruit of your life reveals the root of your heart. As Proverbs says, the heart is the wellspring of wisdom. So again, what are they thinking, what are they feeling, and what are they doing? Which really, counseling is the overflow of the theology of God's word.
Mm-hmm. Is there a place then for training and lay counselors in the church? You know, because I'm going to answer that first. I'm going to say, yes, there is a place for that, and I believe that we need that. We need the ability and the training for lay people. That could be a place for them to serve, to talk with others and keep that confidential and just love them well, to lead them to God, to lead them to scriptures. Give me a little bit on that before we close out our show.
Yeah, I would say the importance for us is to have a conviction that this is what our church is called to do. This is what we need to do. And this is an expectation of reality that all of us lay people are equipped and called,
mm-hmm.
and it's not an option to be considered, to speak truth in love, which is really counseling.
Mm-hmm.
To be slow to speak, quick to listen. That James, if we can just execute that well. So yeah, I think it's a conviction, and we just need to see that reality that as much as like pottery ministry is important or photography ministry is important, I know I'm joking.
I was confused.
No, yeah.
Pottery ministry?
Yeah, yeah.
Who is that?
Yeah. Now, we programize our churches, right? You know, we talk about simple church.
Mm-hmm.
We become over pragmatic and program oriented, and we forget the whole vision, the whole goal, why we're there. And I think our church has got to realize, again, who are we? What is our vision? Why do we exist? What is our purpose? And begin to go back to just a fundamental, basic understanding of why do we exist as a church. And I think that when we're convicted and we begin to see that reality, we're going to begin to counsel one another.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to begin to speak truth in love with one another. We're going to begin to equip one another. And then we begin to not just be a monument or institutionalized church. We begin to see the movement of the gospel and we don't become a maintenance mode, but a multiplication mode within our churches.
I got you, man. Well, it's been good talking with you. We've covered a lot of ground, but there's so much more we could have said. Mm-hmm. You've given some really good resources. Maybe we can stick those in the show notes or something. But if you are interested in learning more about counseling, please look up these resources. Please seek. There's some simple counseling stuff. You can actually go to YouTube and just look up some simple counseling strategies and things. But make sure it's biblically centered. There's a humanistic... there's a huge humanistic pull within the counseling world that says you are born blank or you are born good and something made you bad. And that's just not biblical. We are all born sinners, and that's the root of our tension with the holiness of God, you know. But yeah, it's been good talking with you, man.
Yeah, thanks. It's always fun hanging out with you. So yeah, we'll be seeing you guys around.
All right, bye, guys.